Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Thanks to Mack Weldon for supporting FilmSack. Mack Weldon is a premium men's essentials brand that believes in smart design and premium fabrics. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and use the code FilmSack at checkout.
We consecrate this ground, this world of light. We curse the abominations of darkness. We block the passage of evil. May the old devils depart. May they burn in the fires of their own damnation. May they freeze in the infinite cold and darkness of their own hideous creation.
Isn't that kind of insulting?
You know how much you can get for a big one?
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to FilmSack, episode 438 of the show that mines the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. We are here doing it again. It is Sacktober, and it's our first Halloween movie of the month. My name is Scott Johnson. Joining me today, Brian, I thought your dead dog was my mom, Dunaway.
Of course you did. Look at that hair. Oh, hi. Uh-oh. It looks like someone's been messing with my 80s Big Bird magic slate board that I use to keep my show notes on. I know it's a bit risky to keep something so important on something designed to be reused over and over again. But I do love the sound of peeling back the acetate sheet from the slate as the words are ripped from the page, and the comfort in knowing that everything I write about Scott can easily be erased from existence with a simple flick of the wrist. Scott is a poopy head. Rip! Gone. Scott smells like a poop. By the way, most of my Scott insults are poop related.
Yeah.
But he will never know. Yeah. Rip! Anywho, perhaps my magic slate board is trying to tell me something. Aka kuto ala etta. That's just nonsense. Rip! All right. I guess I'm winging my intro this week. Oh, hi. This week on FilmSack, we are opening The Gate to pure 80s horror in this low-budget film by Hungarian director Tibor Taka. What in the fresh hell is that? Hey, little demon minion. May I assist you on your travels? Oh, I see. Yes, I believe you are looking for the Johnson residence. Okay. Yeah. Utah. Right. Here, I'll just write the address down on my backup magic slate featuring Kermit the Frog. I know you minion guys love those things. Now, hold still. Just chill out. Okay. Just let me first clear this this other thing off of real quick. Scott eats poop. Rip. Good hunting, my teeny demon assistant friend.
Those guys are the best.
Those were the greatest things ever.
Those shitty little demons. Yeah. Oh, they're so good.
But Dunaway, the feeling of pulling off the writing with the magic slate. It's a very satisfying feeling. You just reminded me of that. Thank you.
Oh yeah.
You just peel it. Rip.
It's my.
And it's all gone.
It's my ASMR pulling that, ripping that off there. Yeah, it's good stuff. With us also Randy. He's a geode, also called a thunder egg, Jordan.
Thunder Aloha, egg. Scott, Brian.
Hi.
Did I ever tell you boys about the time I owned and operated the most successful line of tree removal services in Central Canada?
No, sir.
That's a true story. I'm sure you heard of it. It was called Out on a Limb or something. And you can make a fortune if you just follow my three easy-to-remember rules. Number one, You got to be fast. If someone has a tree down overnight, you show up first thing in the morning. You're supernaturally the only tree removal service that has staff on call 24/7. In Canada, they say 7/24. Number two, on the other hand, you do not have to be careful. Is there small children sticking their noses into the area where you're operating dangerous machinery? You ignore them. I'm sure they'll be fine. Number three, you do not have to do extra work. Big-ass geodes falling out of the root ball? You ignore that. Every time you find a sinkhole under a tree, you just cover that up with sod and move on. That's probably nothing. I said that's probably nothing.
You think they're in on the deal, I think. I think that's what
Yes, I think they. I think the tree removal service causes the whole problem.
They knew they were tapping hell. They knew it.
Yeah.
Well, anytime a tree anytime a tree lays an egg, you're like, something's not right.
Yeah, something ain't right. Those trees ain't supposed to lay no eggs. Well done. Also, by the way, is that true in Canada? They say 7/24? Is that really what they do? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Oh. Okay.
All right, I was like, you're giving us the...
Yeah, I thought it was a real fact. Man. I thought it was a fact. I was all excited. That would sound like a good fact.
It's helping us order off the secret menu in California.
Yeah.
I know they have HP sauce. Saw it right there on the table. First scene.
Yeah, Hewlett-Packard sauce. Also, and finally with us, Brian, he came from a backyard hole libbit.
I did. Yeah. You are hearing the secret track found by spinning the record back. In it, our voices will relate instructions on how to close the gate. But before we get to the incantation for dispelling the demons in your location, we'll tell you how to hit it big by being a metal band with a movie gig. It's a tale that we as a band don't savor because we owed our manager a favor. He told us he would take our royalties back if we didn't chant on this stupid track. Now we can't give you the incantation, I fear, until we come out with our album next year, because I've wasted so much time, my friend, that your turntable's needle has reached the...
Love it.
That's good. Maybe
that's one of my best. Yeah, that's one of your best intros.
Oh, ever. By far. Didn't expect.
I need an illustrated version of that.
Yeah. I thought about if I wouldn't have gone to Beer Fest yesterday and had a teeny little bit of hangover today, I might have actually gotten some heavy metal, like cathedral-y kind of music and played it backwards while I did this whole thing.
Well, one of your best works, I think. Yeah.
Why would you have something so transparent played forward on an album that you would need to reverse it? Isn't that supposed to be hidden so that people can't hear it? I didn't understand.
Well, they were playing it backwards, but it was too clear.
Why?
It was too clear. It's supposed to go, we love Satan. It's supposed to be hard.
Well, but there's the two different kinds of backward masking. There's the stuff that's unintentional, like the Paul is dead. No, there was... I guess that one's a real one, but there's ones where it's like, oh, we think we hear them saying we love Satan. Thank you, Satan, and stuff like that.
Right.
But then there are the ones where it's like, oh, no, we really intentionally put this on there backwards. There's an ELO track that has this whole like, turn back. Yeah.
Now, I like ELO, and I've never heard that one. Which album is that?
Oh, I can't remember.
Oh, it's okay. I'll look it up.
Yeah, look it up. Yeah, it's pretty easy to find.
My understanding is that the term backmasking only refers to the deliberate process.
Oh, really?
Like, right.
Oh.
Yeah, that you when you say backmasking, you're talking about someone put something in reverse in a track, whereas hearing something has this whole other term, like like phonetic, you know.
Oh, interesting. Well, here's Brian Ibbett backmasking his laugh. Let's hear that. Oof. Man.
Ooh, that's rough stuff. By the way, the song is Fire on High, it looks like, by ELO.
Okay.
And that's the one.
Love
like,
ELO. Even better than the Beatles.
There's some more. Ooh, geez.
I feel like I'm in Twin Peaks in the Black Lodge.
Like that at all. Happy Halloween.
Speaking of the movie yesterday, so we watched The Gate.
Yeah.
And... never heard of it. Never heard of this movie. Didn't know it existed.
Yeah, it was Ibbett who brought it to our attention because he saw it when he was a kid and was like, oh my gosh, this is on Prime. We should watch this thing. It's great. There's a lot of weird stuff in it. Just things you'd remembered, I guess. And he's right. It's a It's weird. The only thing I didn't like about the movie in terms of, like, I'm not saying this is a good movie. Like, don't get me wrong. This is an 80s ass horror, kid horror movie.
I'm gonna say it's a good movie.
It's fine. It's not that it's a, I'm just saying it's not a great movie or any by any stretch. But what I'm saying is, it gets really good. And that by that, I mean, you know, cheesy and gory and weird really late in the movie. Mm-hmm. They take forever to get to the Hellgate, like forever. Yeah. And I understand that you don't want to just give it all up front and whatever, but this thing's like, I don't know. We're more than halfway done with the movie before things really kick off.
Well, it's a, okay. So it's a low budget film, relatively speaking. It's a $6 million film.
Yeah.
Wait. I mean,
has that been adjusted for inflation recently or something?
Right. Look,
is that non-monopoly money?
I'm telling you, I think they did. I think this director and the production house, I think they did an amazing job. Well,
the effects are amazing. I'm going to just straight up say it. I think it's some of the best effects that I have seen from that era.
87.
From an 87 movie, for sure. And it's really just the little dudes, just the little troll looking.
Yeah, things. The troll dudes, minions. The eyeball hand looked really real to me for a minute. The big creature, while stop motion and dumb, was still a pretty elaborate effect for its time. Like, there were moments.
How many pecs did that thing have? I'm just curious.
Some of them were arms, arm pecs.
Yeah. Yeah, you had arm. There were two pecs per arm set. So you had like five arm sets. You had five sets of pecs. You have 10 pecs. That's how many pecs that thing had.
Yeah, don't skip arm day, dude.
No.
And most importantly, inoffensive nipples. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I feel like I'm not in a position to give you
title,
a welcome.
It's the title of my sex tape.
Yeah.
I just want to point out, this thing has a 6.1 on IMDb. That is not shabby. And if you drill in, 7.4% of people who voted plus 3.3%. So we're going to go over 10% of people who voted on this movie gave it a 9 or a 10 on IMDb.
A lot of people like
over
it.
Over 10%.
We got a pretty steady stream of tweeter folk yesterday saying, oh my gosh, I love this movie. I love this movie. I love this movie. Or this movie scared me so bad.
I just
want
to point
out,
like, over 10% giving it a 9 or 10. That's like Saving Private Ryan levels. That's like insane.
Yeah, it's pretty
it's amazing.
Saving Private Ryan of schlocky Canadian horror films.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm really impressed in a number of ways in this movie. I'm going to join Brian Dunaway. Mm-hmm. There were just so many moments when I was like, whoa, how'd they do that? Oh, mm-hmm. That's really nice. Mm-hmm. You know, like who needs acting? It's fun.
I mean, even the little guys, knowing that they are, you know, guys in rubber suits shot with a weird perspective, they still look great. And they look better than CGI.
Yeah.
They look more realistic than CGI to me for whatever reason.
Yeah. There's something about the hunched over quick movement.
Yeah.
The way they ran, it was like a weird, uncanny combination of those aren't real, but I can tell that those are people in them. And it worked. It totally worked.
Right. Exactly.
And you know what? I'm going to take back what I just said about who needs acting. I actually feel like these three kids that have to carry the whole movie, and they do. They put the whole movie on the shoulders of three children.
Mm-hmm.
They did a fine job for their age.
Well, they had 80s ass parents, and those parents were out of there, and they're the worst because they're dumb and they're the worst.
And you just you need a trope alert yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You're already hitting the trope of the parents leave town.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And they're dumb. Yeah, they're both dumb and over trusting, and they're also not trusting enough, and they're just. Everything, the guy, dude's dad's wearing a sweater. Mom's hair is so momish, it just about kills you.
The mom fro.
Yeah. Yeah. The car is like, you know, this freaking Audi that everyone's uncle had.
This is, once you start thinking of this as a remake or a homage to Home Alone, it gets real interesting.
Yeah.
So think about the movie Home Alone as much as you can while you're talking about
this movie. There's the big deal here we should mention is that we do have an actor here that went on to be somewhat of a big deal, especially in the 90s, and that's Stephen Dorff.
A lot of things.
Yeah, he still does stuff now. But Stephen Dorff, as far as I know, my first exposure to him, maybe have been before, but my memory of it, my first exposure was the first Blade movie where he played Deacon or some name like Snow White. Yeah, he played Snow White.
I love it. Okay. I would love to see Snow White in Blade.
He played Snow White. No, he was the bad guy. I just can't remember his name, but he was very good.
He was Deacon
creepy.
Frost.
Deacon Frost. Deacon
Frost.
Yeah. Frost. That's the word I was
thinking of. Was just in the most recent season of True Detective on HBO, which I say is almost as good as the first Michael one. McConaughey, Woody Harrelson and, season.
Who's Michael McConaughey?
Huh?
Matthew.
Oh, I'm sorry. Matthew McConaughey.
So, and I gotta say,
I'm gonna blame everything on being a little hungover.
How was that? How was that Great American Beer Fest?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was fun. It was a great time. It was a really, really good
Always
time.
Good.
Had lots of delicious small batch brewed craft brew beer.
Did you eat a lot of pretzels that had been recently snuggling your sternum all day?
Many, many five pretzels that had been recently. There were only five, but they were big pretzels.
Yeah.
I had an ale. A Throwing Copper ale that was made to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Live's album Throwing Copper.
Oh, making nice.
Making it the third reference to a band that I hadn't thought of for about 20 years.
Did you drink it and then go, lightning crashes and mother dies?
I drank it.
No?
I drank and said, my alone like this.
I love you. I love that band. That album is really good.
I swear I was trying to remember if we had seen Space Truckers from 1996.
Oh, yeah. Is that another dwarf?
We've seen it, but I don't think we've sacked it.
Not
we?
On Film Sack, we haven't. Mm-mm.
No, yeah. Definitely not.
Yeah, I would love to see
that's
that.
That's a Stephen Dorff.
And I was going to say, the third season of True Detective is fantastic, and I would call that Stephen Dorff's biggest performance, like, mm-hmm. as an actor. I can't think of something where he is called on to do more. And he does it well.
Maybe the Beatles, thing where he played Stuart Sutcliffe, Backbeat.
Oh, I didn't know that was him.
Yeah. One of many people who are called the fifth Beatle.
Mm.
Randy's like our local linguist correctional person. So, how do you say
the irony of that sentence? By the way,
how do you say Stephen's last name again?
Dorff.
Dorff. Okay, so do you not put emphasis on the two F's at the end, like Dorff.
Dorff.
No. Dorff.
And I did actually make a tick next to a list I have earlier when you called this a horror movie.
Yeah,
I
horror.
Thought it was so cute.
Horror. It's movie. So much horror.
but Dorff. So it always, I always got those two confused, him and Brad Dorff. And the Dorff part of Brad is different because you got the I in there, whereas this guy's just like straight up Dorff.
Dorief. Yeah. Brad Dorief.
Yeah, this guy's like Dorff on Omar golf. Sharif. He's like Dorff on golf with an extra F. That's what
right.
it is.
It's a last name that's real adjacent to I would have changed that if it was my name.
Oh, yeah, like, for sure.
It just doesn't sound very
I would change cool. it to Dorff with one F.
Right, but if you want to see a transformation of an actor, watch this. Watch the Gate and then go watch Blade. And that's like that's 10 years later.
Yeah,
he is a wicked, handsome, muscly dude in Blade. Mm-hmm. And then stick around for another movie he made whose name I don't remember the title of this movie, but you get to see Brad Dorff's Stephen Dorff's full wiener in a movie. That's a thing I'll never forget. And I don't remember the name of the movie.
I'm not going to watch that, but thanks.
I don't remember the name of the movie, but he shows up at a door. He's like a male gigolo thing or something. He shows up at the door buck naked, and he's just a big old wiener man just standing there, full frontal wiener man.
Like, I am Stephen Dorff. You may remember me as Glenn in the Gate.
He went full Keitel there, full piano Keitel in that scene, and I'll never forget it. And it's kind of it bugged me through this whole thing because I'm like, all right, here's this 10-year-old kid or whatever he is in this.
Yeah,
and one day I get to see his wiener.
You want him
weird.
To know that, by the way, in about 15 years, you're going to do a movie where you're just full on wienering the front door of some.
Yeah, I don't know why that's funny, but it is to me. But anyway, he's actually a pretty good actor, is my point. And in this, he's just a kid and he's not great. He's fine. He gets the job done.
What about Lewis Tripp, who goes on to do The Gate too,
and nothing else?
Terry. Again, I thought he was great. By the way, I think this movie has the shortest full cast list of any FilmSack film we've ever seen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Previously, I thought it was The Room, Tommy Wiseau's movie The Room.
Yeah.
And that has a pretty short cast list, but this movie beats the hell out of it.
This has 13 actors, right? 13 total, I think.
Something like that. Yeah.
Zero cops.
Speaking, I mean, they're all the kids in the party scene. But there's a bunch apparently who don't talk or who don't get credits, even though they probably say something like, Levitate, levitate,
levitate.
Or they come walking past the camera and they say, "What a great party!" Yeah. Like all teenagers ever. Like, oh God, teenagers.
There is some great party dialogue if you listen. It is some really good stuff.
It's 80s as shit, too. It's like they've got that girl with the hairspray explosion in the front.
Oh, yeah. All I can think of was Cameron Diaz the and There's Something About Mary.
Man.
Yeah,
that was the biggest nightmare.
And they're all they're all dressed like they're at a party in Utah in the 80s. Like, it's weird. They're all like...
We're a lot like Canada. What can I tell you? We're very Canadian here in the 80s. I don't know what that's about. But it all felt very legit to me. Like, that was that decade for me visually. So that girl with the hair was not so much shocking as a stark reminder, you know, that used to be acceptable or something. But yeah,
did the girl who was doing the levitation, the I Believe It girl, did she even have a credit in this film? Because
I don't know, was that one of the
I Believe It, but she was the one that was the witch, and I was like, just burn the witch.
Yeah,
levitating.
So
people,
I think I'm pretty sure that's the actress Ingrid Veninger. If you look at pictures of her now on her IMDb page, her face is really similar to the girl who believed and had
I think you're right.
Totally. And that girl was born in Bratislava, Slovakia, and she did kind of have a little bit of an Eastern European look to her. Yeah. So I kind of believe that.
I actually wished that they had picked up a couple more kids from the party. Like, that girl and the boy that was telling the initial horror story had somehow decided to stay over. Because I don't know, I just wanted more. I wanted more of that gang of children kind of vibe from this thing.
Yeah,
it kept getting close up to, you know, a Steven Spielberg joint, and I wanted that.
I did too, but I also wanted to see more offings. I wanted to see some of these kids get it, and they all left. So all there was just the three, and you were like, well, none of these three are going to die for good.
This was this film was PG-13, and it was directly offering at the offering altar of 11 to 14 year old, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, it was it's like, here's our horror movie for the main movie goers at that time, you know, between 11 and 14.
Yep. And they include a lot of the dialogue. Every time the young kid, the Steven Dorff kid, would fight with the sister's friends, they were very much the language of the time. Lots of FAG words, lots of hey.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It was so abrupt, because I was watching this with a 12-year-old and a 21-year-old and a 20-year-old. And I was like, ooh, cover your ears.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't mind the F and the S bombs, but ooh, hearing those is rough, especially, you know, when they're said with zero ramifications, like, hey, that's not cool.
Yeah, I think one of the terms was, well, you know what, I have it in the clip, I'll play it later, but any 80s movie that's about teenagers where someone doesn't at least one time say the word retarded in a pejorative way, is actually odd to not hear that in those movies. Like today, you just never hear it, and you probably should have never heard it. I would much rather hear an F-bomb or a shit bomb or something like that, because they don't have targets, those words.
Yeah,
it's equal opportunity offense.
My kids laughed at that, and they actually said, "Who calls somebody that?" And I'm like, "Oh, you have no idea."
Yeah, different time, man. Different time. I mean, there are plenty of people who still do that, but they do it in really dark holes on the internet. It's just a different place, same party, I guess.
I love that the whole movie takes place on this one property. There is zero leaving that house or the backyard. Like, the entire movie, I was trying to think of other movies that are that centrally like located and never go anywhere. The party comes to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the party comes to you house in Canada. And the funny thing is, the entire look of that place, outdoor, indoor, all of it, just gave me the vibe of, no one actually lives here. This has been abandoned. It's creepy. There's like a molester up the street. There's just something weird going on.
It reminded me of Poltergeist, which is kind of how Poltergeist is. It's very isolated to that one house.
Yeah.
Or like Die Hard is isolated to an office building. You know, there are some examples, but it's not many.
Right. Well, at least Die Hard had police in it. apparently the Canadian police have no interest following up on any of the complaints that might be happening.
No, again, I mean,
see that giant plume of smoke coming from one house?
What do you expect? What do you expect from the RCMP? They are not a tree removal service. They do not come.
That's true. Good point. But like that, like thing Ibbot says, that thing was billowing out the hellfire smoke, whatever. Yeah. And I'm just thinking,
it'd be pretty easy to track down where that's coming from.
Yeah, it feels like they didn't try very hard.
People were asleep, you know, they weren't awake. Yeah, the neighbors were nobody was. That was the scariest part. Even in the opening, when the kid is going on his bike down the suburban area, there's nobody outside cutting their grass. There's nobody outside working on the cars. Just houses with no cars and just death.
Yeah, it's weird because, there is a desolate, depressing quality to where they filmed this. Right. And I don't know if they were even aiming for that. When it was all sunny out and blue skies and they're out playing and goofing around outside, it still felt stark and awful to me.
Well, that's a trope too, right? Where it's pretty weather and then for the middle 80% of the movie, it's not. And then at the very end, you've solved the problem and it's nice again. They even pan to the sky to show you blue skies over me. Like, like that's a trope.
Yeah, that's totally a trope. And they really lean into that one. And you kind of knew it was coming the whole time. So as soon as everything went hell on earth, I went, oh, well, this is all going to clear up. Like this is, they're just going to, they're going to have this.
Put on a happy face.
Yeah, the sun is going to come through the clouds and we're all going to go on with our lives as if nothing happened. But.
Can we talk about Angus for a second?
Yeah.
I love. First of all, don't name your dog after the meat I love, Angus.
I thought he
or
was
the named AC/DC member.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, though I thought he was named after the lead guitarist of AC/DC, who, by the way, will will survive us all.
Yeah,
it's so weird to that Angus Young has worn children's clothing his entire life and appears to be immortal.
Well, his name is Young. What did you expect?
Well, his brother, though, who's also, is it Malcolm Young?
Malcolm used to wear children's clothing with him.
Yeah, and Malcolm's in like late stage dementia and may not be long for this world. So it's not one of the Youngs ain't so much. Maybe he's a vampire and he's just sucking the lifeblood out of everybody around him. I don't know. I was told that they were what was it? Antichrist demon culture.
Yeah.
Whatever.
After Christ, devil comes.
There you go.
Oh, right.
See?
Right.
Angus Young knows what's up. He's running around in a school uniform going, "What they don't know is I'm the devil inside of this thing."
Many demons put together like a Voltron.
By the way, feels like we're just gonna talk about the third season of True Detective quite a bit. Oh. There's a real heavy lean in on the problem in 1980 of concern with Satanism.
Oh, and satanic music. Panic, as they call it. Yeah,
in that show, and I kept thinking about it, watching The Gate. For some reason, I'm just like, these are the exact same kids that would be wearing a Black Sabbath shirt.
We had we had mild, light satanic panic when I was a kid. And it usually came in the form of this guy's going to come talk to you kids about backmasking in your music. And that's about as far as it got. It never really, nobody ever pitchforked down to the old Wilson house and demanded to see their sacrifices.
He's watching.
I'm trying
to
remember if we had anything like that. Like, I certainly don't remember any school assemblies or anything talking about heavy metal. It was just, it was just the parents saying, oh, he's listening to that devil music. Yeah. And
we didn't have any community wide stuff, but it was every parent. Was well aware of it.
They should have felt
guilt. They should have felt it was preying on something which was just happening during it was just evolving in the 80s, where more and more moms especially were going to work and working all day long hours, and we have latchkey kids, and of course the parents are so out of touch with the kids. Anything sounds scary,
you had a lot of very overzealous religious leaders who were pounding this into people.
Oh, absolutely.
That Ibbot and I on TMS, it felt like we did that for a month, but we had that book all about toys and He-Man and all of the devil and everything. Like, that's from that era.
If your kids are all of a sudden into something and you as a parent don't understand it, then it's got to be. It's got to be bad. It's got to be evil.
Right.
Right. You know, and in that case, it was specific where they would say I heard there's a warehouse uptown where they sacrifice babies and, right. It just got out of control. It's stupid.
they blamed a lot of that stuff on the Tom Hanks movie that came out around that time, especially for the Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, Mazes and Monsters.
Which I would love to see for this.
Yeah. The blame was just cast all over popular culture. Like whatever pop culture was, that it got all the blame for what? Some like unfounded fears. I don't even know what we're talking about. I've never understood the what did you call it? Satanic panic.
Satanic panic was the term. I remember, yeah. I
love that term, by the way.
It wasn't super prominent here, but like, you know, my mother-in-law, when my mom was or my wife was growing up, she wouldn't let anyone play with playing cards because she had heard somewhere that they were they'd summon the devil or some horse shit.
Oh yeah.
And true story. I remember that thing being a big deal. So face cards were a big deal. What was the other one that was like a D&D was obviously super demonized
right in the middle of it.
Yeah. Which is, again, this is like the same old thing. Comic books are ruining our kids. Movies are ruining our kids. TV is ruining our kids. Mortal Kombat is ruining our kids. Like it's just,
we're ruining our kids.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Scott, are you ready for the six ways you know that playing cards are satanic?
Go for it.
All right. The King card, that represents the Prince of Darkness, the devil. The Ten card, ten, it speaks of the spirit of lawlessness. This would be in opposition to the Ten Commandments found in the Bible. The clubs represent a club of violence and murder. The Jack speaks of the loose living man, the lustful man, a licentious individual who lives to satisfy only his lower nature. The queen, this is 5 of 6, the queen represents Mary, the mother of God. Mm. In the language of the cards, however, Mary is impure, dissolute, and immoral. And then there's a card with a joker on it. J for Jesus Christ. Jesus is called the Joker. It's interesting. The ultimate blasphemy.
How appalling. I feel like I need to go storm the streets and let the world know. Like, what a bunch of made up horseshit. You know what? I'm proud of anything in my life, this is the one thing I'm proud of as a parent. Okay. There's a lot of things I could say I'm proud of, and I don't really, it's not the kind of thing you do is tell people how proud you are of things you did. But if I have one thing I can say I'm proud of, I didn't do any of that shit as a parent. None of it. Mm-hmm. They never once did my kids were they falsely afeared about something that doesn't exist. Not once did I go, well, you know what they say about cats in the middle of the night. Like, none of that bullshit.
What do they say, Scott?
What do they say about cats in the middle of the night?
I was just making that up. But, I refused to do it, and I remember it being a choice. It was like, I'm not going to be like that. That's lame. You guys are just scaring your kids, and you're PTSDing them for eternity. They're going to come out of this going, oh, I don't know. My parents they didn't like SpongeBob. Well, no, you know what? We love SpongeBob here. We embrace SpongeBob. Right. I don't care if somebody thinks he's a pentagram sent here by Satan himself. I don't care. He's a little entertaining sponge. Let's go.
Lazy parents have always used fear to control their kids.
Yeah, it sucks.
It's lazy parenting.
The kind of fear you want to have is like this kind. You say, oh, you're overacting in a line in the grocery store. I'm going to pull you aside and I'm going to have a stern talking to you eye to eye and tell you you can't do this in public. That kind of fear is healthy fear. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. good fear.
Right.
Yeah. The kind of fear that isn't good fear is to say, oh, that He-Man doll, he represents the fall of man and the rise of Satan.
So basically you're saying that we need to make sure our parents or our kids are afraid of us and not other things.
That is absolutely correct. Because what you're doing is you're trying to control your kids when you're not there, right? Isn't that the idea? It's
not really control them. You're just
making the rest of the world scare them.
Right.
So, and this movie made me realize that I'm going to play an experiment on my child every now and then.
Oh, good idea.
A little bit older. And that is an example of this is someday when he's like, 15, we're going to make a big deal of claiming that we're going to go away for the whole weekend and leave him on his own. Then we're going to just go shopping and have a nice dinner and then come back home and see what's going on.
Yeah.
Right? No parties.
Yeah. Right. Oh my gosh. The Hollywood trope of has anyone ever had their parents leave suddenly and then plan some giant party?
Yeah.
No.
To invite the whole neighborhood.
No.
I have never.
Of course.
No, that was a trope that never occurred. In real life, like that happened in every one of these movies, never happened in life.
Right.
Every party I ever knew of was well planned out, was way ahead of time, was like sometimes they were at people's houses while their parents were gone, but it wasn't some last minute thing ever.
Last second thing, no.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. I mean, I did plan parties when my parents would leave, but I'd know ahead of time that they were leaving and I'd plan the party. So, but it was never, there were parties that they didn't know about.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's no like Friday night going, hey, you know what? Their parents are leaving this weekend. Time to plan a party.
Here's the funny thing about all that.
With Tristan, we'd intentionally not tell him that we were leaving until the day of and saying, by the way, we're going to be gone for the whole weekend. See you when we get back. Because good we didn't luck. Want to give them the right good luck trying to get your friends over for a party at this late hour.
So I got two things to say about that. One is I kind of cheated when my kids were going through that age group, you know, 15, 16 years old.
Uh-huh.
I told them that I had people on the inside that told me information. Right. I think I've told them
using
this.
Using other people to instill fear.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah. I would say I had their friends. They just didn't know which one was the spy. And so just be careful what you do because I have spies.
Well, and this is another one of those tropes that really only exists before smartphones, right? Yeah. And now you just can't. I don't know if you why would you even try?
No, or also security cameras. Thing. Like we all have a little freaking camera in the house. I have three cameras upstairs. I would know immediately from a movement sensor that there's a party going on. Like it wouldn't even be like a question, but you know, even in the early aughts when my kids were little or whatever, we'd use that spy thing and we used it all through junior high and high school and it was great.
I'm telling you, I went to about three parties like this in high school. And I remember them. I remember very well the big controversies that came out of them. Every time someone had an unsupervised house party, something crazy went down.
Of course.
And
oh, yeah.
One of them was on me. This guy, I was like 16, and this guy named George Tapia came with a bunch of whiskey in a flask.
Whiskey.
And then poured it into solo cups. And then I was assigned the job of driving him home. Like he was at the party and he had brought whiskey and they wanted him gone. And so I drove him home in my dad's truck and he spilled whiskey all over the inside of the cab.
Oh.
And I got him home. And then I had to suck it up and take the truck home and tell my dad that George Tapia had spilled. I keep saying his name. He's
out there somewhere.
Person who actually lives out here in California now. Mm. And like I had to go tell my dad and like, oh, my gosh, that was such a scandal, you know.
When you said suck it up, I thought you meant you like got down on all fours and like
sucked up the whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have spilled everywhere.
Now,
hold on. The only other thing I was going to say was Ibit 100% is that kid. I could see you being the party guy. Now, I don't mean that you were a party guy like you're a freak. I mean, you're the one organizing. You might even have games planned or like, I just know it.
Exactly. It's like, all right, by the way, I've set up these two tables. We're going to have a trivia competition.
Yeah, absolutely. That you're that guy. All right. Sorry, Dunaway.
Saturday night at Ibbitt's parents.
Yeah. Right. It kind of is. Yeah.
Sorry, Dunaway. You were saying something. I cut you off.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to do that to you.
Oh, that's okay. Please continue.
Let's continue. Here's a trope for you. I'm going to play this. The walls have stuff moving in them. And you can see it because they got like a fake rubber wall thing going on. That's an 80s thing. Like every horror movie in the 80s had some hand or face pushing up against a wall.
And it's still very effective because at least one of the kids last night watching this with me was like, they had never seen that effect. And it blew their mind.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah, it's... Yeah. You kind of, as a special effects guy, probably have to decide, all right, how squishy are we going to make the wall? Like, are we going to make it... like latex rubber so that you can really kind of make out the fingertips and the faces and stuff like that. Are we going to go like a little, you know, a little stiffer so that it's just kind of the general movement, but you kind of don't want the pictures and stuff, the framed painting or pictures on the walls to like kind of wobble too much as you're doing it because it's like, all right, well, the wall itself is this cool little amorphous thing, but apparently everything hanging on it is still just shit hanging on the wall.
Yeah, good point.
Illusion broken.
I'm pretty sure the Nightmare on Elm Street version was the best cutscene.
They did that.
I think that worked out real good. And maybe they were the first and everybody copied it. I don't know.
There's a music video for the band Ultravox, a song called The Thin Wall. that was the first time I ever saw that effect. Clever. It's just like hands reaching through this rubber latex thing to get Midge, the lead singer, as he walks through.
It's pretty cool.
I actually wish in this movie they'd done a better job. I don't know. It looked like someone holding a couple of balled up towels to press against. Like, it didn't look scary. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't something you could make out.
It looked like something you need to repair, right? Like it was a broke something wrong.
Like it's a bad, oh, this is something I'm going to have to fix when this movie's over.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with Randy on that. I don't think it looked, they chose not to have hands. Instead, it just felt like a rumply, like it was just oatmeal behind there. Mm-hmm. Didn't really do it.
And while we're on my two complaints about this movie, that one of them is that they didn't commit to really scaring you in a lot of places where they should have. Like, it's just a general thing for the film. They kind of go easy on, you know, jump scares and making things look genuinely scary, like the wall didn't. But then my other thing is, man, boy, was I into model rockets. Oh, my God.
Oh, were you really? Okay. So one of the four of us was going to take the Estes angle here. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And man, my dad had a workshop in the garage, and it was just a room on the side of the garage that he'd put in a workbench, and like he had a mounted anvil and this kind of shit. And it was given over to me as a teenager. I could just be out there building models all I wanted. And of course, I probably got high and passed out more than once by accident.
Open the garage door.
Yeah, right. But anyway, I built model rockets. I painted them and put all the decals on really carefully and coat after coat coat of
model. Wait, just let it go.
No. I need confirmation.
Let it go.
Just confirmation. Yeah. Decal
instead of decals.
Sure. And I had those exact rockets. Every rocket you see in this movie, I had those because they bought the most popular ones for the movie.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question about model rockets. What is it that got you there? Because I never could as a kid. They just annoyed me. In fact, what I didn't like about them is it felt like they were kind of expensive, and once you fired them off, they were done. They would pop and explode. No,
I was more into bottle rockets.
Yeah,
because okay, put them back together, don't you? I mean,
the whole thing about a model rocket engine is it's got a reverse charge at the end of its burn. So you have an igniter. You do not have a freaking ignition cord. That was the dumbest thing. I don't know why this movie did that, except to give you the excitement of trying to get a match to light or something.
But, well, it was also to give you, it was a preview or it was a foreshadow of how he's going to deal with that monster in the end. So,
sure. Which was more realistic. The idea of using a battery powered relay on a long cable.
By the way, in today's date, 2D batteries, we might as well go ahead and die now because we'd never find them.
Yeah, they're really hard to find. They really are. You can't find D batteries.
The only D batteries I have, I'm sure, have like the goo oozing out of the top. Like they're in the pantry if we need to throw them in a flashlight. But I'm sure they've got the crusty poison stuff coming out the top.
Yeah.
So anyway, Scott, those rocket engines was this little cylinder that had a charge in it, right? So it would, you know, launch the rocket and fly like you expect. But it also had a reverse charge. At the end of its burn, it would there was a little second, and then this reverse charge popped the other direction. And so it would go up the cylinder of the rocket and blow the nose off, and the nose was still attached to the rest of the body by some string, and it had a parachute that would come out. Mm-hmm. So your job was to aim the rocket into the wind. You never, ever shoot them straight up, or you're going to chase them for miles. Mm-hmm. You aim the rocket at an angle into the wind, and then it would fly off into the wind, and then that parachute would come out, and then you would still chase it for miles. That's how it works. It's a parachute, and it's completely unguided. But then there were these specialty rockets that did things, and that's what got people like me so interested. It wasn't just that you were going to reclaim this thing and put it all back together and put another really expensive one-use engine in it and go again. But some of them had like a camera, and you could put like a delay, and it would take 10 pictures, like one every 5 seconds over the course of like 50 seconds when the rocket was actually in the sky and this kind of thing. And that was so interesting. And how could that possibly be interesting nowadays with smartphones and drones? Zero, that nothing. But at the time, my gosh, that was the most interesting technology. Yeah,
I wish I could say I was super into it, because it felt like a thing I would have been or should have been, but I just didn't get into it. I don't know why. To me, it just seemed like a one-trick pony. It's like, whoosh, all right, what do you guys want to do
that
now?
That was fun. Let's go back inside.
All right, kids, let's go hike.
Yeah.
Right. True story.
Let's go locate it.
That's about it. But anyway, you mentioned that, you know, your complaints about the movie, and mine still remains just, it just took too long to get to the demons and to the action. Like, they just took too long. Now, some of that stuff's kind
enjoyed
of fun.
I enjoyed the ride. I enjoyed stupid. I mean, this movie returned me to my, you know, my 12, 14-year-old self. Because I was about that age whenever I saw this on HBO. And it was like, oh, yeah, I remember those stupid conversations and the, you know, the slate boards and getting excited about geodes and, you know, worried about the parents grounding you and just and all being afraid of things under the bed, as well as, oh my God, biggest fear as a kid was the joy of digging a hole, but then suddenly digging into something. And you just never know what you was going to hit, because you'd be like, oh, it's fun to dig, and then like halfway through the hole you're like, oh, this is kind of scary, because what if I bust into something?
Yeah, like the water main or the freaking electrical something.
No, not water main. What are you talking about? I was like 12. I'm more like thinking, oh my God, I'm gonna, you know, open up a hole into the depths of hell.
Yeah,
because that's where you're taught, if you, especially in the South, in the Bible Belt, that's where hell is at. Hell is under the ground. At least that was the simplified version of what you would know, that hell is in the earth.
Yeah, when you're kids, so when you're kids, digging, that's what you hear. Sure.
Yeah. So when you're digging, you're like, oh, what if I dig too deep? What if I, you know, what if I dig and run into a Chinaman? Or what if I dig too deep and run into a demon? You know,
see, this is why parents shouldn't tell their kids shit like that. Or parental leadership should never say to their kid, oh, by the way, there's a bunch of demons under the ground. Because every kid should be able to dig a hole with impunity. But, just dig your hole, dude.
I guess it's okay if you say there's a Chinaman.
Right.
No, like you say there's Chud first. It's always Chud, then Chinaman, then hell. Get it straight, everybody.
Forget about the core.
Yeah, about the core. Aaron Eckhart has that taken care of. Don't worry about it.
Right.
This is all good. But it had, the other thing I liked about the movie is it had that 80s gross, which is not the same as normal gross. Mm-hmm. Right. Like the guy's head falling off and the dad's head splatting.
Right. The parents' faces coming apart. And
yeah. Like him, you know, all oily when he's digging his fingers in it and all that pus is coming out of the head. Like there's just this great era of practical gross effects that I appreciate and miss in more modern films. Actually, it might be why I really enjoyed that. Dark Crystal series so much is they really stuck to the practical, even though we're not talking about those kinds of effects necessarily, but it just, like, one of the Skeksis has this oozing pus nodule on his nose that won't stop,
right?
And it's part of the story.
Have you watched the on Netflix right now, in addition to the Dark Crystal series, they also have like a documentary that kind of outlines why they made the choices they made
And how they did it and all that. Sure.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's supposed to be very, very good. Yeah. I haven't seen that yet, that bit, but I want
it's interesting because they did both. They tried both. They tried CGI and they tried puppets, and they determined that there was something unnerving or otherworldly about the puppets that CGI just couldn't create. And so they went that way, but then they also added enhancements to the
They did. The Skeksis have tongues, for example. That are moving in there at like a real. I noticed this pretty early in the thing, but they're like real organic tongues. They don't stand out or look wrong. Like it doesn't seem like CGI because it fits really well. But after a while, you realize, oh yeah, they're getting a lot of articulation out of a tongue there. That's clearly not a puppet. That little bit there is like CGI. It's kind of like Where the Wild Things Are movie, where it was dudes in big giant costumes, but the faces were CG.
Yeah.
Those were really cool. Yeah. So it just felt like a really coming together, a smart coming together of the art form of what
I got. I often just almost want to weep because I'm like, oh man, if Jim Henson was able to use his brilliance with today's technology, the things that he could have just.
And also, don't you just think, I think all the time after watching that, I think how proud he'd be of how they stuck that. Like, he would have been, I feel like there was a devotion to his vision in that thing that is really something. And they could have blown that completely. They could have said, we're going to modern this up. Let's put cell phones in here or whatever, you know, something dumb. And instead, they were just very adherent to his vision to start with. And it shows through, and it's as if he did it. That made me really happy. Anyway, it's really good. There's our tribute to Jim Henson.
This movie could have used a lot more Jim Henson. I mean, I loved
what a little rubber troll people.
Yeah,
yeah. I love those guys, but sometimes it was like,
yeah. Not I mean, so they're a little like, stiff. The faces don't really do anything. Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm.
But they're kind of hilarious. There's one shot where one of the little demon minions is at the top of the stairs,
mm-hmm.
and Glenn is downstairs in the closet, and all of a sudden, getting bitten by Rat Terry, and he turns around, and the camera goes from down there and zooms in all the way up, and it's just this great shot that just makes me laugh every time.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I put the wrong one in our chat. I meant to put a different one, but there are two GIFs I made.
That GIF is hilarious when he flies out.
Yeah, it's pretty good, and it's a perfect loop too, which is really fun. But my favorite one is this one of the troll looking through the window and then leaving. Yeah. So when I want to get out of a shitty conversation on Twitter, this is my new default.
I love it. I'm out.
Replacing the Superman just jumping off the building.
Yeah, yeah. I've had that one for a long time. Time to shake it up. But anyway, it's a very gif-able movie, and I was surprised by that, because normally these movies, I just go, whatever, that's a cheese ball mm-hmm. effect or whatever. But there were moments in this thing where, like, I got to capture that.
Those demons had more personality than they had any right to have.
Yes. Oh, yeah. for having faces that could not control their expressions or change their expressions.
It's because of the shape of their mouths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The shape of their mouths makes them look like they're going, huh?
Yeah.
Right. In a constant state of disbelief. Oh.
When they come
whereas the teenagers at the party who invoke the trope of magic is real.
Yeah.
Don't even, like, they're so casual about
right,
it.
Right, right.
What the hell, guys?
Yeah.
You just discovered actual real magic, and you're just like, all right, back to the party.
Yeah, it's a...
so freaked out.
It's weird. Also, I don't understand why there are two holes. So you got the hole out in the yard, and then they got another hole. Why? How come two holes in the house?
Well, I actually had some theories on that, and I never could solidify it, though. But I remember that being something odd back in the day, because I remember thinking, so the real hole is underneath the house, but I guess it's like a large cavernous area. So I guess there's like more than one entryway, and they accidentally opened up one. I wasn't sure. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's something to see.
It was not explained.
No, but the house one was kind of cool, because you had the falling away wood thing, and that's... You know, there's no CGI back then.
Oh, the floor. Yeah, that's a great effect, that floor falling away thing.
Yeah, that's why I'm so surprised this was, you know, kind of low budget, because their effects team for the time.
They used their money wisely, really.
Yeah. Wisely.
Yeah.
Wisely.
They spent it on hardly any cast, only a bunch of kids who only get paid a little.
That's right. Yeah. So was their whole family... like into rockets and stuff? Because I know... They named the kid Glenn. Was that like a nod to
John Glenn?
John Glenn.
Wow.
And I was like, that's interesting. And then Al, the older sister, was really big into rockets, and you know, they shared that. I kind of like that subtlety of that sister brother relationship. Mm-hmm. They didn't hammer you over the head with it.
Yeah, right. But it was also one of those. It was like E.T. with the older brother and Elliot. You knew that they would. You know, they'd have all their rivalries and their sibling headbanging, but they would eventually have moments of, you know, well, we're in this together because you're my brother, you're my sister.
Well, whatever. Suck my nose until my head caves in.
Yeah,
Scott.
Do that. That was the worst line. What a gross thing to say to anyone. Suck my nose until my head caves in.
I saw a lot of foreshadowing in this film, and that one disturbed me, because I'm like, I don't want it. Somebody's going to get their nose sucked.
Yep. Sucked. Oh, right. Yeah.
You thought it was foreshadowing. Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. By the way, Barbie legs, terrible to stab with. I know that they wanted that as a visual.
Oh, yeah.
But it would bend and be all wobbly. Or not wobbly, but it wouldn't.
If you got it the right, like, you basically you'd have to thrust it with as much direct force as possible. Any side, any angle, and those legs are going to bend. But if you go straight on, then...
Did you ever cut open a Barbie? Just curious. Anybody do that besides me?
Serial killer.
I did
it. A bunch of serial killers?
I'll tell you why I did it. I didn't do it because I wanted to kill it. I did it because I was fascinated how the joints worked, because they had that quality of like...
But you
You know,
you really wanted to piss off your sister is why you did.
Well, that did piss her off. That is true. I also burned it with cologne in a Star Wars movie I made with figures. I had so much fun with that stuff.
What's the most flammable thing we have in the house?
I mean, as soon as I take my dad's like Old Spice and use it as an effect in my little Star Wars movies that I cut together. So there'd be like, you need to
be sweating and smelling good.
Well, I've told Ibbot about Burnt Kirk, who is my Captain Kirk from the Star Trek, the motion picture action figure collection. And he got all burnt in a Star Wars movie where he was the villain. And I kept him. I still have him, and he's all melty and weird looking, and I call him Burnt Kirk. That's just his name. But anyway, the point is I tore it open because you know how their joints are like they kind of have a rigid multi-angle thing?
Right, like a ratchety knee thing. Yeah. And that's new because they didn't used to have that. They used to, like their legs would not bend.
Well, I feel like in the 80s they did because the one I tore apart was like that and I was dying to know why they were like that. And so I tore all that flesh off and it's just like a little mini, it's hard to explain. Yeah. It's almost like a little gear with lots of little slots on it. So it's like tick, 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 tick. So it wasn't all that impressive, but I was really hoping I'd open that up and it'd be like a T-8000 in there or T-800. Right. I wish I still had these movies. There's videotapes buried somewhere in my life. I have to go find those, get those videos out of there. Because I've got one where Luke Skywalker gets eaten by a gerbil. And the reason the gerbil even goes over to the action figures because the fake blood I used was ketchup. And the gerbil was super into getting over to the action figure and sniffing it. And it looked like as he was sniffing it, that's when he would eat it. So I had like Foley workers going rah, 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 like eating Luke at the end of this thing. While I had Star Wars music dubbed in. It was amazing. It was an amazing film.
Finding that stuff for YouTube just would be a gold mine.
Yeah, I'll go find
it. Now, hey, I mentioned earlier that I watched this movie with a family that was a younger generation. Were you guys yelling at the screen at all? Was there ever any time you're like, oh, come on, or anything like that?
Or I laughed a few times.
Yeah.
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 The kid,
Tina, of course, as usual, sat through this with me and we laughed.
She rolled her eyes.
I love that she does that with you. That's super. And Kim always says, oh, I would totally do that, except I do this clip thing and it's at my computer and she doesn't want to sit over here at my computer.
Oh, right.
And
do it. Right.
But
it was a fun movie. You could tell that the people making the movie were trying to entertain you. Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, not necessarily trying to scare you, which is something like that's a mm-hmm. intentional, you know, they were going out of their way to not, you know, like blow your mind, startle you and that kind of thing, which I guess I kind of wanted. But like I say, the good-hearted nature of the whole thing really shone through.
The kid, Terry, I had a hard time with Terry because Terry is the exact visual version of me at that age. So I was gangly. I had bad hair. I wore big thick glasses. I had denim,
massive,
like tough skins
and a tiny little mouth.
Yeah,
right. Listen to death metal.
I didn't do that. That part I didn't do, but I did air guitar a lot because I thought that was cool. But it was mostly like Journey and things like
that.
Oh,
you knew that was cool, did you?
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
The bed and jumping up and down on the bed, listening or playing your heavy metal music.
Oh, by the way,
in particular Artie, though, it was like the tough skin jeans that are pulled up way too high, and it really
Artie
rubbed
knew
me.
That Terry was insane because anybody that has absolutely zero sheets, including a fitted sheet on their bed, you know they're not right in the head.
No.
Did you sleep with no fitted sheet?
But you could tell
anything?
That there was, I mean, they even talked about their big family issues there at the Terry household, right? I mean,
so many.
You know, I'm out playing golf, son. Enjoy this pizza I left on the counter for hours for you. Yep. Should be delicious.
So if you wanted more of Terry's story, that's what The Gate 2 is. It is all about Terry. He returns, the only actor to return.
What happened to Dorf? Was Dorf like, I'm too cool for this now and just said I'm not going to do
it? Yeah, he's out. Right. And so they explore Terry's story. Where he actually tries to reopen the gate. He does reopen the gate because he wants the minions to come and grant wishes. So it's kind of like a wishmaster kind of thing. It's interesting.
I'm kind of amazed that in this film sack, the thing we've been doing lately, that we didn't watch The Gate 2 before we watched The Gate 1.
Right. But Gate 1 was much better. Much better.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen 2. Enough. Is it worth seeing 2 now? I mean, I'm not saying right away.
Only if you watch it within the next week or two, just to kind of go, okay, there's the completion.
Otherwise, you're going to forget right. all the important plot points of the game right. one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's important stuff. What you don't happens miss again? It.
Why are we watching this guy? I don't know.
Oh, I just did a search for Steven Dorff, and I forgot that I have Safe Search turned off for a whole other reason.
Oh, why?
I found the Wiener movie. If you you know what, you're my friends. This is a private channel. Here it is. I'm putting it in. Enjoy. Here
this is what Scott, you do to your friends. Scott.
Steven Dorff.
Safe Search is for so your safety.
And it's not just Wiener movie, but it's also
wow. He looks like a Ken doll.
He looks exactly yes. He does not look. He looks fake.
Yeah,
but at least he's wearing protection. Yeah, which
that's exactly what I was looking at. I'm like, is it off color or does he have protection on?
He's got an off color Wiener. Yeah, I like that.
Unsure.
I never expected this film sack to reach this place, but this, you know, here we are. What do we genuinely think about colored condoms? Like,
oh, you know, in like, terms of like
condoms that come in like lime green and caution orange and that kind of thing.
I think that's zero, fine. I think it's fine.
I have zero opinion about
that. I have an opinion yeah. about it. I think it's you know, whatever gets your party started. It's fine.
Sure. Exactly. It makes me think of the
gets your party started.
That John Ritter movie Skin Deep, where there was like a lightsaber battle with glow in the dark colored condoms.
Oh right. Oh my god.
I am not aware of this, and now really? I must be. I'm not aware of this.
I don't remember that.
That's YouTubeable.
That's got to be out there, right?
Is that yeah? That was. I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere. And there's no nudity. I mean, it's like pitch black, and you're just seeing, you know, like okay. two brightly colored condoms, yeah, gotcha. Chasing each other around the room.
Wow.
And this was playing at the movie theater, the Century 21 movie theater, when I was working there in the concessions. And so on your break, basically, you could go and watch the movie, and it was a one theater movie. Back before it got split into like 12 theaters and
right, I remember those screens. Days. Sure.
And during the time that I was working there, it was Gleaming the Cube, Cousins, and Skin Deep were the three movies that played there during the 4 months that I.
God, I want to live in that time. I want to get back in my DeLorean, mm-hmm. and I want to head back and I want to see that. I want to live that for just a minute.
It's just such a bummer. Like three crappy movies, and I'm sure right before that was something like. You know, last Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade or something like that. That would have been great to be working there. But yeah, I mean, it was like, all right, well, I'm taking my break. I guess I'll go watch. And it would always be during that stupid condom, John Ritter condom Dang. Chasing scene.
Oh yeah.
Anybody else working? Anybody else work in the theater?
No.
I kind of worked in the theater a little bit. My wife at the time was the assistant manager, and I used to go in and, if they were, it was truly just kind of a family business kind of thing. And I would go in and get to make the popcorn and all kinds of stuff. That was a lot of fun. Oh, yeah.
Would you guys make fresh popcorn daily or would you?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, like every couple of hours.
Yeah. Century 21. I mean, we'd obviously be constantly making it in that machine, but at the end of the night, it would go into a big garbage bag.
Oh yes, we would.
And then the next morning, that garbage bag would go right back into the get dumped right back into the big glass container where you make the popcorn.
No, we didn't do that. We took it home with us.
I think as long as that popcorn was made like fairly recent, like late in the night,
it was never more than 24. It was certainly never more than 24 hours old. I'd say even unlikely that it was any more than 12 hours old. Really,
right?
Yeah, I like old popcorn though. Is that weird? I don't mean like.
Yes, it is.
I know.
No, it's not weird.
I don't mean like, you know, stale
multiple
or whatever.
Multiple days old, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever had popcorn that come right out of the popper at a movie theater?
Also good. Also good.
Never.
Sure.
It's two kinds of things you're talking about there. It's like Kim's jambalaya is fantastic fresh and amazing 3 days later.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course.
So it's kind of like that for me. And so what I'll do is I'll see a movie, bring the big giant bucket home. Because there's just extra popcorn, and it's one of those refillables. So you can use it next time and get a free one. And the next day, I'll be like, oh, there's still popcorn, and I'll eat that shit all morning. Yeah.
Yeah. And
now, does totally the theater know you're getting a free one?
Yeah, I think so. Right. Yeah, no, they have this deal where you buy this tub, and then you can just bring it, and you get a free popcorn anytime you come back with the tub.
Okay. I thought you were like sneaking in your pants or something.
No. Rolled up jumbo tub of popcorn smuggled back in.
Yeah.
Speaking of Steven Dorff's latexy penis.
I don't even know what movie that's from. I feel like I should be giving it credit, but I don't know.
No, nope. Oh, no, you don't. Why? Nope, doesn't matter.
Why? All right. Why exactly?
I don't know. What do you? What do you? I mean, when, I'm trying to think. What if you're an actor? I always think about this. Mm-hmm. If you're Bruce Willis in that movie where you got your peen out in the pool, you know,
The Color of Night.
Yes. Did they, at what point did that discussion, like, I know this happens to women all the time. They're just, some of them are just expected to
you'll
do
be,
it.
But, oh yeah, sure. You'll be in my film. You'll pull down your pants. We'll have a few laughs.
At what point though, did somebody go, all right, just so you know there, Mr. Willis, we need to see little Mr. Willis about halfway through this movie.
It's really weird because it's not like, I don't remember it being a plot point. I barely remember the film. I remember it being a very cheap Alfred Hitchcock kind of knockoff where his character can't see the color red. He's like the Sinestro of detectives or whatever he is.
Yeah, it's not good.
And he falls in love with the chief suspect or something like that. That's all I can remember. But I don't remember it's like, you know, the nudity was important to the film.
Mm. Yeah, no, I don't think it was at all. I think it just shocked me because it was Bruce Willis's peen. And I remember thinking, wait, I want to see John McClane with his doodle out. I don't want to see that.
Right.
It's, to me, that's just a bridge
pull
too far.
Pull up your pants and get me those detonators.
Bill Clay. All right.
We end up talking about penises so much in a film that's fairly family friendly.
Yeah, right. That's the thing. It is pretty family friendly. I mean, there's some implications about the teenagers all getting horny for each other, but not really, you know.
Yeah.
It's all pretty standard. God,
even that is so minor. It's like, we thought we'd come back over for a party. We brought a six pack of beer.
Yeah.
Right.
Look at
how
us.
Early on did you guys know Angus was going in that hole?
Oh, I knew it was happening.
Oh, right. The minute I saw Angus, I'm like, look at that furry dog. He gonna die. Yeah.
He's gonna die. He's gonna be in that hole so hard.
Yeah. He's gonna go in the hole.
Loved on by Terry.
Uh-oh, also that guy God. Who's the guy who's driving around with a dead dog in his thing.
So great.
Let me tell you something.
Couldn't get anywhere.
This is how it works with dead dogs. And this is kind of morbid, but we had a dog once that died on Christmas Day. It was awful.
Oh.
Great big dog. She's got old and died right there on that day. And you know, she was cold out, so, you know, it's not like she was going to go south or anything.
Scott.
But here's the thing.
Well preserved by the chill.
Yeah, but they get all leaky, man. Like, you pick them up.
Exactly.
So that kid's car would have been covered in, like, both ends leaking.
He would have had, like, the truck with the whiskey spill that Randy told us about earlier.
I'm glad I had a castaway reality for a minute and just pretend like that's how it was. I was glad for that.
By the way, end of that story has me in the garage in the middle of the night with a shop vac. That's how that story ended. That was not at all how I hoped to end my Saturday night.
No, but he had some rocking.
It's like a Saturday night at Jordan's house.
That's right. He had some rocking fake 80s music.
Anything worse than waking up to a chainsaw? Is that like...
I thought it was a weed whacker. Was it a chainsaw?
I did it first, but then I was like, no, it's a chainsaw. Well,
that's how they're taking down the tree is with a chainsaw, sure.
Yeah, but don't you hate getting woken up on Saturday morning by a chainsaw? That's like, ooh, that is like the most abrupt. That is going to be my alarm to wake up because that will wake me right up.
I can't remember what the kid's dream was. What was his dream?
Right, he was having a dream.
It's the treehouse of the movie. Yeah, the treehouse was the baby.
Mama.
Right. Yeah. First of all, he came home alone. That's the reason why everything was empty, and he couldn't find his parents. And then he heard the doll. Why this kid have a mama doll? We will see later on. I don't know. But then the treehouse got struck by lightning, which really actually happened, apparently. And
so he was dreaming the thing that happened.
Yeah.
Because
what,
he's supposed to be a medium? Because as far as I can tell, that's the only time they.
Well, no, I don't think the lightning hit the tree that night. I'm sure it hit it before, and they said, all right, well, on Saturday we got to make sure we get that tree cleared out. And
you are ruining
my headcanon right now.
My headcanon right now, come on.
I mean, that happens with real dreams. You'll wake up to a thing and it was immediately integrated fully into your dream, even though it just happened, because time means nothing in dreams. It's all just presented like as a single thought or whatever. So I could see that. But now all I can think of is that live song where it goes, lightning crashes and Glenn wakes up from his dream. That's how the new lyric goes. Hey, you guys, I want to thank Mack Weldon for supporting this episode of Film Sack. Mack Weldon is a premium men's essential brand that believes in smart design and premium fabrics. They give you the ultimate comfort in underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants. I just got a new hoodie and a pair of sweatpants and a hat yesterday from Mack Weldon, and I love them. In fact, I'm sitting comfortably in them right now. Oh, could there be better clothes for the month of October? I don't think there would be, at least where I live. Nice and cool outside. Anyway, Mack Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. Their products start with innovative fabrics that each have their own unique purpose and story. This includes their silver line of underwear and shirts made with a natural antimicrobial material that eliminates odor to keep you feeling cool and fresh all day. So whether you're working out, going to your job, going to a date, whatever, or you're just wearing them in everyday life, Mack Weldon is a good fit for you. And if you don't like your first pair, by the way, you can keep it and Mack Weldon will refund you. No questions asked. You get a pair of underwear and they're like, you don't like it? Keep that underwear. They'll refund you. That's crazy, right? I think that's awesome. Thing is, you'll like the underwear and you'll just keep it, because I did. Anyway, it's been great. I bought, like I said, I bought these pants. They're kind of like date sweatpants. It looks like something you could wear out in public and not look like you're just in your jammies. It's sort of like a straddling that line somehow, but they're super comfy. All the zippers in the right places. The jacket I got, or the hoodie I got, is an orange hoodie zip-up, and it's super comfy and exactly my size. I'm a tall guy. I'm kind of hard to buy for, but they fit me, and that made me happy. Got the double X, and it was great. Anyway, it's very easy to use the website. The product is awesome, and I don't know. These kind of clothes work for me no matter what I'm doing. So it's real good. I want you guys to save 20% off your first order, and here's how you do that. Go visit mackweldon.com and use the promo code FILMSACK at checkout for 20% off your first order. Again, visit mackweldon.com and the promo code FILMSACK for 20% off. Do it today. Clips.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get these going. We got a few here. Let's see here. Here we go. Let's start with this one. This is a, why is it not coming up? Okay, there it is. This is 80s lightning sounds. Now you'll know the kind as soon as you hear it and you'll be like, oh my gosh, that is the most stock footagey sound effect ever for lightning. Here it is. You know that chow chow.
Excuse me, Scooby Doo. They stole your sound.
Totally Scooby Doo. That's where you get. Yeah. That's it.
Yep. A big sheet of very thin steel that someone hit with like a broom.
Yep. And then recorded it and then had it available at the Paramount lot and for all time.
Oh, God, I'd love to do Foley work. It'd just be so fun.
How fun would that be, dude? Oh my gosh. Like
this time, I'm telling you, the most interesting thing you can do on a tour at Blizzard is get toured by a sound producer and go into one of those studios where they have all the weapons that they clang together in front of microphones.
Oh, like yeah, fun. Dude. Seriously, that's so cool.
I sometimes just sneak out down there and just, you know, hold a sword and a halberd and just like swing them at each other.
Yeah, and I just love an a strong adherence to quality sound design by any film or game or anything. It's just so, to me, that is such a cool work of art that doesn't get enough credit because it's not something you see, but you definitely feel it, and it makes such a huge difference. All right, here's 100. What? Well, I don't know what this is. I'll just play it.
You know how much you can get for a big one? $100.
Whatever. For a thunder.
Why was that not from Ibbit's mom? Oh my god!
Oh, don't you worry.
How much could you get?
Oh, you know what? That was supposed to be. I have a tag on the end of it that says Ibbit prom. Shit! I forgot to do it.
That's too bad.
I forgot to say it. Oh, all right.
How much does a giant geode like that fetch? I would think a pretty decent amount.
I don't know.
More than 100?
Yeah, that big one. Gosh, that was a really valuable stone. Like I was actually thinking the whole movie. I was thinking about how they went and found a rock hound and they borrowed a couple of geodes. You know, and they borrowed two big ones, one that was intact and one that was already split open. And like that person probably thought of it as their valuable property that's being used in the making of a movie. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just sent
That wasn't a special effect created geode. That was like a real geode.
Yeah, I just sent you a link to an eBay listing, and it's tons of them, but they don't seem too expensive. Like, there's
really
pretty big ones.
More importantly, you cleared out that Steven Dorff photo. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I just figured that.
That's fantastic.
They had done its job and was ready to be retired, so it's all good. The most expensive one on here is like $130. Let's see.
Oh, wow.
55 for a lot of these, 30. Oh, 320 for this. Natural exceptional A-grade large celestial geode.
None of these are as round and perfect as the one as they had in the film. I mean, these are all ganky. These are all like class C type geodes.
Yeah.
Still, like one of my favorite excursions imaginable is going out in the mountains in Colorado and finding a geode and actually taking it to a rock shop and having them cut it. And like
that, you took it to a rock shop.
Yeah,
this isn't the place I thought it was.
Mm. I used to love weird rock stuff.
I don't even know how you'd look for, like, specifically look for a geo. Like, do you look close to
streams?
Apparently under streams, apparently under trees.
Apparently you just knock down a tree and they're all under there, like little balls.
Yeah, but also if you let's see.
Tree balls.
Want to say there's geodes in the weird caves sometimes. Like, we have I forgot the name of the cave. We have a really, well, locally anyway, it's kind of famous, but it's this big cave with lots of stalactites and stalagmites and all that stuff. Oh. And I guess in there they can flourish. I don't know. Underwater stuff, all that, you know. Here's this is, we need to call her by her real name. So here you go. Oh, whoops, sorry.
Quit calling me Al. My name is Alexandra. I can call you Betty.
See what I did there? I put a little.
Wow, that's a long way to go for that joke.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But worth it. But worth it.
Totally worth it. By the way, to get that audio, I got. I watched the clip, right? Or sorry, the video, the music video on YouTube.
Oh yeah, one with Chevy Chase and Paul Simon dancing.
When I was younger, to me they looked. I thought those two were ancient, and I look at it now, and they're like 32. Like they're young, handsome adults, and it annoys me. It annoys me that I perceive them that way, but whatever. Something with, I don't know, they're arguing. Here you go.
What's with you today?
It's, I don't know, it's something about that hole.
What do you mean?
I don't know, it's just weird.
Well, you filled it in, didn't you?
Yeah, but Terry told me something.
What?
Well, he said a long time ago, when they were building our house, a workman got killed. And the other workman didn't want to tell the police, so they sealed him up in one of our walls.
Look, son, let me tell you something about Terry. You remember last year when Terry's mom died?
Yeah.
Well, ever since then, Terry's been a little strange.
Yeah, this is the worst dad-son combo.
I'm telling you, Steven Dorff is acting circles around this guy.
He really is, yeah.
Dad's bad. He's a very bad dad.
Really? Well, why, son?
Tell me more. Oh, he sucked.
Continue.
It's just knew that was going to be the beginning of our show.
Oh, you were. Oh, was that the one? I was going to ask you.
Okay.
Because the kid sounds so earnest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just felt strong about the seance Terry moment, so I had to use that. Okay, here's the don't forget about Angus bit.
Don't forget that Angus gets his pills every day.
Okay. Thanks, Mom.
Okay.
That's your mom line.
Are you talking about my enema? Oh, Angus.
Angus.
Yeah, whatever.
Not your anus pill. You don't need an anus pill. Here's a friend laugh.
Yeah.
Okay, that's very pre-pubescent. Someone made a fart joke kind of laugh. You know, the way you did when you were a kid.
Yeah.
tearing out hair? I don't know.
And he's tearing out hair.
Oh, that guy at the party.
Yeah, I kept trying to put together his scary story, but it was just random bits of nothingness is what it was. Yeah.
The hair was in the house the whole time.
Yeah. I actually thought that was the charming part of it, is that you aren't meant to be able to find a common thread through that ridiculous story.
Yeah, and you don't.
It's weird.
Here's some teen wisdom from the witchy girl.
Weird things happen all the time. So we make up ghost stories to explain the powers inside us that we don't understand.
Well, thanks. Thanks a lot.
That thing there, that I most remember that kind of music from Ghostbusters, but I know it's been used a lot over the years, but that's a really effective
whistly thing in the background.
Yeah, whistly thing. Yeah. What is that called?
Theremin?
Theremin?
Oh, theremin. Is it a theremin?
Yeah, theremin.
That sounds like a theremin. Yeah.
Like Star Trek, the theremin.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
97 is old.
He was 97. They don't live much beyond that.
Jeez, kid.
I love that.
Right, like 97 is the turning point for dogs.
Yeah.
That age specifically.
Now when you hear his voice.
He was 97.
Okay, now hear him in a 1997 interview about Blade.
Well, what I'm trying to do with Frost is kind of, there are elements where you should be kind of afraid of him, where he releases this kind of nasty side, which.
It's just weird to hear juxtaposition. Yeah.
I mean, but you don't live much longer after that.
No.
you won't have a career much past 97.
is he now? Oh, no. You guys said he was in that third season.
Yeah, the True Detective thing was great.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't feel like we're...
It's him and Mahershala Ali, and the two of them are just fantastic playing off of each other.
Did y'all?
If you like this sort of thing, you should absolutely watch it. I can imagine there's people who don't like this sort of thing.
I mean, I love the first season. I didn't see the second because everyone warned me off of it.
Yeah, don't see the second.
I thought the second was fine. It was fine. People complain. It's like when Scott complained about season two of the freaking Stranger Things. It's fine.
No, I still haven't seen two. I haven't seen anything but one is my thing. I haven't complained because I haven't seen it.
Oh, maybe a Schleicher. I'm sorry, Schleicher. Steven Schleicher.
Oh, yeah, Schleicher didn't like it. Yeah, you're right.
That's right. Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. I'm on the fence just because no one will tell me if I should watch it or not. But
of season two?
Yeah.
Don't see it.
Both.
Okay.
No reason to see it.
You need to watch season two of Stranger Things so you can understand.
Oh, I'm sorry. Season two of Stranger Things, yes. Not season two of...
True Detective.
Hey, Scott. Yeah. Watch what you want.
Okay. I watch what I want. I watch what I want.
Watch what you want.
So he's been in I'm just looking at all the Stephen Dorff stuff. He's been in a billion things no one's heard of lately. Just tons of stuff. Something called Tennis Anyone, Shadow Boxer, The Debt, nice. Heartstroke, Jackals,
Heartstroke.
Leatherface.
I had one of those once.
Wait, is Leatherface the one with the...
Yeah, he actually was a good... It was pretty good. That's where Leatherface is the good guy. That's pretty good.
Is that an origin story?
Yeah, well, no, it's yeah, is it?
Oh, 2017's yes, it is. Leatherface, and he's... You root for Leatherface, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. All right, well, at least that's something I've heard of. But the rest of the stuff... Oh, he was in Far Cry Instincts as Jack Carver, a video game. Anyway, just doesn't feel like we've seen him a lot. So,
who felt bad for Angus when he returned? Like at the end? Oh,
yeah.
I mean, it's like, yeah. Hey, let him go.
Right. I mean, yeah, dogs were like, oh, man, I finally, done.
Right.
I've lived 97 years. That's plenty. I don't live much beyond that. Our type doesn't live much beyond that.
Right. But also shouldn't have died from that. I mean, he got tossed a little, but not really. Like Terry
no,
didn't
No, what
really
happened, Terry strangled him, right? That was like the chicken from MASH, right? Is like he was holding on a little too tight to Angus.
Oh, that didn't occur to me. Okay. You're right.
Yeah.
It was a chicken. The baby was a chicken. Angus. All right. Here's another Ibbot moment. Okay, so here you go.
You want to come over later and mess around?
Sure. Yeah. Guess we'll see you later, huh?
That just seemed like an odd.
Okay. And then cut scene, he's back.
Yeah.
No. It was pretty fast. Some of those cuts were kind of odd.
Yeah, they were. I laughed hard at this part though.
In a time before the earth. Before the sun and before the light of the stars.
That's so bad.
Stars.
It's so bad. And watching Terry lip sync to it with his little blanket cloak. Yeah.
That whole bit. Just, I'm still aching from it. It's just a rough piece. Here is the dark. Oh, this is a good quote.
The dark book. That's like the Bible for demons.
The dark book.
Yeah. Oh, so it's not the good book. It's the dark book.
It's the dark book.
That's right. The dark book.
Keep that in mind. Okay.
The demon tome.
Here is the backmasking. Now, this is why we've talked about it before. It annoyed me, but not for the reasons you might think. I'm going to play it, and then I'll tell you why it annoys me. See if you can figure it out. Here you go.
What's this? It's the album. Backwards. It tells you how to close the gate.
It annoys me. Because those kids talk over it every time.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yes. It's giving us all the information we need. Huh, is it really giving us all the information that we need to close the gate? Yeah, it's totally telling us how to close the gate.
So the guy's going, blah, blah, and they go, what is this? Right over the top of it. It's like, dude, let the backmasker talk.
Here's some very important information. You may want to listen to this.
But isn't that how 12-year-olds are? 12-year-olds are, though? Isn't that what they do?
I don't know. Do they?
Yeah.
Well, they're
yeah,
dicks,
they totally
then.
Do that. They're dicks. Talk over the important parts? Oh, absolutely.
All right. Here's Demons Don't Ring the Doorbell.
Demons aren't going to ring the doorbell.
That's good advice. That's
yeah,
just
true.
What I'm saying.
Maybe.
The girls in this are shitheads, I wrote, and here's a clip proving that.
What are you doing? Probably fagging off. What'd you do to your face?
None of your beeswax, four eyes.
All right. So wow. Amongst those insults was the one that said, what are you doing? What are they doing? And she says, F-ing probably, off. Yeah, I don't even want to say it, F-A-G-ing right. off. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, no one ever used that as a verb.
Not once.
At all, yeah. ever.
No.
No. What are you doing? Oh, I'm effing off.
I think my friend and I are gonna. My friend's gonna come over, and we're gonna go hang off. Yeah,
yeah. Right. Doesn't make any sense.
No.
All right. What the hell are you talking about? I wrote.
What the hell are you talking about?
Oh, it's because she literally says it. Now listen yeah, to the way yeah. she says it at the end. Now, that, bah! Listen.
What the hell are you talking about?
Bah!
Bah!
Bah! Bah!
Those yeah, girls. I was amazed that they had the Lee sisters and their names, like they didn't joke yeah, around that their names Lee were sisters. Ugg and Hum. You know, like, yeah, yeah. like that would have been the place that those kids' jokes would have gone.
The Ugg yeah. and Lee. That's really
the
good.
Lee sisters.
Ugg and Hum.
Yeah, yeah. Ugg and, or yeah. Homely. Yeah, that's what I meant. Came to the party. Home. What? All right.
Came to party.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
I came to party.
Look, I brought hams.
I'm going to kick him in the nuts.
Came to party.
All right, here's the Terry puberty laugh. All right, and that ends right, today's clips. All right, the Film Sack checklist just handed to me. It says here that dog is starting to smell. Check. Oh, someone nice. Should really tell that girl with the blown out bangs what that looks like. Check. and then what? Oh, a form of eyeglass. Check. What was I thinking there? Oh, because he stabbed his own his yes. hand eye with a piece of glass.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Yes.
I was feeling punny at 11:30 last night.
He's got good eye-hand coordination.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's even better. Damn it. I should have called you. You were drunk. You were drunk asleep.
I was drunk. Yeah.
Useless. Star Trek connections this week are zero. There were only 13 actors in this entire movie, says Daryl, and none of them were ever in Star Trek. So,
yep.
Sorry. They hadn't started filming Star Trek series in Canada yet, so that's right. part of your problem. All right, soundtrack grade, I would give it an S for standard for this sort of thing. It's fine. It's not special. Although, the orchestrated stuff at the end was pretty good, but I don't. Yeah, it didn't yeah. play much of it, so it's hard to really grade the whole thing. But it's average. It's fine. Did what it needed to do. This is the Twitter post now, though. This is where you guys sum things up in 280 characters or less, and I can't wait to hear it. Let's start with Randy.
The gate. The instant that your parents leave town, you're having a party where everyone is having a good time and no one is upstairs getting it on. And they're all quietly paying attention when one person is telling a story. This is nothing like a Saturday night at Evan's house.
So true.
Depends on the night. Last night was all right.
There's people trying to get it on right now upstairs.
Whoa.
Right?
That's good to know.
I'm kidding.
Okay. Also, sorry, Brian Dunaway. I got a little off my wagon there.
Oh, the gate. Demons aren't going to ring the doorbell, Glenn. Well, apparently they do, Al. Now throw that Bible into the hole like some kind of holy hand grenade.
Where's the dark book, though? You got to follow it up with the dark
yeah.
book. Shot and chase.
Right. No, you don't want to put the dark book in there.
No.
That would be bad.
Ooh. Wait. Oh, okay. Question. No, it didn't work out that way.
Somebody give this dog a beer.
Because didn't the dark book say the only way to make this cool is if you're friendly with the beast? Wasn't there something alluding to like you just need to be a nice person and then that's
right? You had to be an act of pure love, which is what essentially he was doing with the rockets because those were meant for his sister.
Okay, so that's why it didn't pay off for me because I couldn't figure out how the rocket kill had anything to do with a sacrifice.
It was the pure love that destroyed the beast, not the the parachute that pops out the top.
Like, yeah, I can't imagine that had much of an impact on that guy.
Right,
you just penetrated him and he didn't even have a wound from it.
I've been penetrated.
Yeah. Take one of your hands and pull it out. All right. Let's see. Where are we now? Oh, Brian Ibbett.
The Gate, a movie that inspired kids all over to dig holes in their backyard to bury their copies of The Gate.
Oh, nice. True.
Ooh, that was meta as shit.
Right?
I liked it.
Like a snake eating itself.
I liked it a lot. Oh, sorry. Before I give you the alternate titles, did we have a Chick in the Bucket this week? I can't think of one.
Oh, no.
No. Do we have a what gross got out the most, though?
No, because nothing really did. It was all either fake effects or... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just didn't, nothing rubbed me wrong. I mean, her hair was pretty atrocious, but it's hardly gross. I couldn't think of anything. Yeah, nothing really
well,
grossed
I mean,
me
I guess out. I guess you could say the parents, the Chick in the Bucket, even though we weren't expecting them quite yet. But since we never actually got the payoff of seeing them freak out, I guess they're kind of.
Yeah.
They're out of town forever. Yeah. They're just left there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's true. So to them, we say this. Okay.
Boo-hoo.
All right, alternate titles. These are great. It's surprising. They're probably just too long, and that's why they didn't use them. The Gate's much shorter, but they almost used Terry the Terrible is the Most Terrible of Friends. That was almost the name. Mm-hmm. Or I'd Like to Thank All the Little People. Those little tiny people. Now, do you think those were kids, or were those little people in those suits?
No, I think those were people in costume and shot with forced perspective.
I think you're right.
Is what they say in the trivia.
Oh, so, they do? Yeah, okay. That makes sense. I would
confirmed.
We're not going to talk about what else they say in the trivia today.
Yeah, that's fine.
We're going to move on from that and never mention it again. Yes.
I was more impressed with the giant monster than the little ones. Like the little ones, I could see all their tricks to make them look like they looked. The giant one, I was just like, there were a couple of spots where I'm just like, man, did they just beat the hell out of a child-sized stunt double? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. When he was stomping on the one, I really wanted like a mushed up one. I didn't want him just to freak out.
Oh, when he was like flaying.
That one. He was so freaking out.
It was pretty funny. All right. Quick email from a listener who sent an email into filmsack@gmail.com. His name is Matt B. Yo, yo, yo. And he says this. Hey, Sackers.
Matt B.
I was just browsing through Amazon's Halloween collection and came across a can't-miss film sack movie, Transylvania 65000.
Oh, it's a great movie.
It says, this is Gina Davis at her hottest. Jeff Goldblum, Michael Richards, Carol Kane, and Jeffrey Jones make a fantastically sackable horror movie. Breaks the Netflix rule, but it's worth it, guys. Thanks, Matt B. Never saw it. Didn't remember it. Now I have a recollection, but I don't know much else about it.
It's kind of like a parody, though, right? It's kind of like Young Frankenstein or something, kind of in that vein of comedy.
I think so, right? Comedy, kind of making fun of the Frankenstein, Dracula,
right?
Kind of stuff. Boy, I barely remember it myself. I don't even know if I've seen it or if I just remember.
I've seen it a few times. I've seen it a couple of times. I remember it being fairly cheesy even back then, so I'm sure it probably definitely does not hold up.
Like
it barely held up in 85.
Because just this description of it right now makes me think of like Clue or something, you know, like one of those movies.
Probably feels a lot like that too. Yeah.
Do we? I mean, is that even a? I don't know if it sounds like one we'd do. I don't know. It sounds too. I don't know.
I'd watch it.
But speaking of things I've never seen that we would do and breaking the Netflix rule.
Yeah.
Can we get to next week's episode?
Yeah, what do you want to do?
Do it.
What do you got?
We're going to watch Poltergeist 2 next week.
Oh, my Lord.
Poltergeist 2 is going to be our fourth of four Amazon Prime streaming films.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen this. It's a 1986 movie.
What?
It's based on Steven Spielberg's Poltergeist, but directed by Brian Gibson. It has Craig T. Nelson in it. I've never seen the first one.
It's supposed to be a straight sequel. It's supposed to be a straight sequel to the first one. I don't think it was received very well, but in our long-standing tradition of sequels before originals, we're going to watch that. And that's
got its all like man in it. It's not like we didn't try to watch Poltergeist 1. It just got pulled off of streaming before we could jump to it.
Yeah.
Right.
We tried multiple times. Poltergeist 1 has been on our list since the inception of the show. 10 years ago. And then we just haven't gotten up to a place where we can get it. So we're more than happy to dip into Prime territory, maybe even once in a while Hulu if we have to. It's just Netflix has the
that's Hulu's motto. Hulu if you have to.
Hulu if you have to. I mean, they got some pretty great original content, but, you know, their movie selection isn't great. Never has been over on Hulu. So for whatever reason, Prime and Amazon, or Prime rather, and Netflix seem to just have the cornered market on this stuff. And it'll be interesting to see, like, when Disney Plus hits later this year, or in a month or so, whether it will have any of that kind of thing. I know they're going to have, like, all the back catalog stuff for Touchstone and for Disney and for all the little sub studios that Disney ran. But whether any of that translates to something we'd want to watch, I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to see.
I don't know.
I'm excited about it, though.
Pretty Woman. I don't know.
Is that in there? I don't want to see that. No, thanks.
No.
I don't know.
No interest.
And not right for
all that movie. Is this that one part where she shuts her thing and it's or he shuts his scar case and it scares
and
her.
then her head hinges off like her.
Yeah, that's good. A great scene.
Sounds like Jeff Goldblum.
I know we just talked about this like last week, but I just can't get over. If you took me back in time 5 years and said Amazon Prime is going to end up being a streaming service that rivals Netflix for, you know, for like series, I just would have been, no way.
Oh, yeah.
Amazon, Amazon, seriously?
I was that way
and
too.
And now, now it's like they've got Good Omens and Fleabag and The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and they win all the freaking Emmys. And, okay, all right, they're doing a great
job.
The
Boys and the freaking, was that a thing I just started watching the other day? I can't remember now. Oh, I'm trying to, by the way, I went back to Goliath because Goliath season 3 just launched.
Yeah.
And that thing really went off the rails for me in 2. So, I guess I'm either happy to report this or sad. I don't know, but it's immediately wackadoo in season 3.
Oh, good. Oh, I like it. I liked season 2 of Goliath, so I'm okay with the continuing wackadooness.
They are leaning into that. Whatever that was, they're leaning in. And I think I'm in. I'm going to stick around. Mm-hmm. It's got a crazy cast this time. It's crazy.
And by the way, just watch Fleabag, people. Just watch it. Just go on Amazon Prime and watch Fleabag. It's 12 episodes. They're like 3 minutes long each. You can watch it while you're on the crapper. Like, seriously.
3 minutes.
Watch
not
Fleabag.
3 minutes. They're like 25 it's like, minutes.
It's like a game of cut the rope or something. I'm going to watch Fleabag.
There's so many people out there who I can't get people to watch the show, and it's like it's because of the name or something.
It is because of the name. Have you guys seen? It is because of the name. I'm the same way. I'm like, I don't know if I would even want to see Fleabag. That's such a stupid.
No,
name.
My reason has just been I haven't gotten around to it because it looks great to me.
Have you guys seen? Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen Stumptown?
No.
Sounds terrible. It's actually really good for network TV.
Well, what channel? Where is it?
Stumptown, I think it is. Is it ABC?
So it's a network thing? Okay.
It's a network thing. And
so canceled in another season to be canceled, you're saying? Is that what you're saying?
No, it just got picked up. Of course it's not. So it's got Kobe Smulders in it. You know her.
How I Met Your Married Mother.
Agent,
And Jake Johnson. I've enjoyed it so
New
far.
Girls, Jake Johnson.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. What's it called again? Stumptown. Okay.
It is Stumptown. It's based on the graphic novel by the same name.
Ooh. Well, I always like those adaptations.
Right.
Yeah. Now you're making me warm all over. All right. Well, that'll be good. But that's next week. We continue Sacktober, the month of Halloween, with Poltergeist 2. And then from there, we have at least 2 more fantastic Halloween-based films to bring you before the end of the season. And the end of 10 years of FilmSack, which is crazy. I still can't quite get my head around that. That used to be a much bigger... I think, you know what it is? Decades are now seeming smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just doesn't
feel
like
it. Did the decades get smaller, or did we just get bigger?
I think we got more baller. We got baller.
We have more decades to compare to, therefore it does seem smaller.
Boom. You've said it.
Yeah.
Well done.
Decades.
Catch it. All right. That's it.
For even decades.
We are done. That's going to be it for the show. Filmsack.com for the website and all the previous episodes. You can find our, we also have an archive feed of all the old episodes because the recent feed or the most current feed has 200 episodes, on it. The rest of them go back.
I live here and I don't even know what you're talking about now.
Exactly. So if you're like, man, I really want the old stuff. I want to hear Kroll and Forward. Oh. It's all there on a feed. You just have to go get the second feed because that thing was unwieldy. It was like 8 megabytes or something at some point. That's just ridiculous bandwidth. So anyway, and also a lot of people's feeds or players were dying because they can't read a thing that's that big. So So anyway, that's what you're going to want to do if you're like, man, where are those old ones? That's where they are. Filmsack.com. You can leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. You can email us at filmsack@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're at Filmsack, and we'd love your reviews wherever you get your shows. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Terry!
We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Came to party.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.